You want to tell them, he just thought about it's more the I don't think it'll be until after the meeting. It'll be open. But if you want to do it,
Okay, we're gonna start the meeting. Welcome everyone to the HIV Community Planning Council meeting. Today is Monday, May 18th. We are calling the meeting to order. I'm gonna do a roll call.
Chuck Adams, here. Robert Arnold, here. Norman Barrios, present. Leroy Blayman.
Here.
No blue.
Here.
Anna Branthwaite.
Here.
Frank Mitchell, all units on the human absence. David Chitty, on the human absence. Zachary Davenport, on the human absence. Elaine Flores.
Present.
Elise Griffin. Jesus Guillen is excused. Ron Hernandez.
Here.
Lee Jewell.
Present.
Thomas Noble is running late. Kyle Lee is excused. TJ Lee Leon. Hello, Liz, on leave of absence. Derek Mapp is excused. Marco Montenegro. Jan Osterson is running late.
Lynn Sherrod.
Here.
Johnny Rodriguez.
Here.
Charles Theron.
Here.
J.P. Soto.
Here.
Richard Sullivan. Laura Thomas. Manuel Vasquez is excused. Let's do the folks on Zoom. We already heard from Leroy. Is there anyone else? Oh, yes, there is.
Pat, council staff.
Mark Moore, council staff.
Tara, council staff.
Steve Thomas has joined us. Let's do the public. Let's start with Andre.
I'm Andre Robinson from UCSF, St. Mary's Hospital. David Leader from Protect Health.
Martin Manager from PRC.
Sue Walberg Smith from Martin Community.
Cecily Bosch, BPA.
Thank you. Not much anymore. This is your side.
I'm sorry.
Okay. We are going to review and approve May 18, 2026 draft agenda. Questions, any changes, any additions? If you're not, we are going to approve by consent. Now we're going to review and approve April 27th draft minutes. Any questions, any edits, additions? Hearing none, we are going to approve by consensus. Announcements. Does anyone have announcements? Anyone from the council? Anyone from the public has announcements?
I have a public comment. Right here.
All right,
public comment. Yeah, my name is David Leader. This is my first time here. I have created an app that will allow people to share HIV and STI information securely from one person to another. The idea is that you download the information to your phone. Right now it's only an iPhone and it's coming out hopefully within the next 2 weeks or so. But you download it to your phone securely. You cannot change anything. You can go ahead and create a QR code in the app that somebody that you're with can go ahead and scan on any device that they are, and then they can securely see it, and then it disappears within a minute. The idea being that people don't have to share screenshots, they don't have to share lab results, it's all in there, and people know that it's secure and they can't edit anything. So I'm here hoping to network with people, to talk to people with organizations that work with people that would find this app interesting in any way. And I have business cards and I'm hoping to connect with them.
Thank you. Any more public comments? Staff announcement.
Yes, it is the time of the year for your renewal applications to be put forward. here will be sending out an email about that tomorrow. They will be due in about 3 weeks. They'll be due by June 8th. So please fill it out as soon as possible and send them back to Kira. Please also note this particular fair is conducting background checks and social media scans. So just be aware of that. That will most likely improve your goal applications as well as your members. Any questions?
The meeting evaluation reminder. There's a few of us here, so make sure to turn those in. We can review those at every student meeting.
General update. And we are going to hear from Bill with
I can't remember. It's good to go to your gal, right? Did the television viewing audience hear me okay, Dom?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Great. So some of this, you know, it's been 3.5 weeks since we've met, or 4 weeks, actually. So some of this is repeat, but just small updates. So I'm going to kind of focus on the new stuff. So in terms of the budget stuff, we're status quo. I did just leave you guys the timeline for your reference. As you guys know, the proposed cuts to the HIV general fund services were taken off the board, and then for the HIV prevention services, the implementation of the cuts for some of those services was put back for a year, but not for all the services. So with any questions about the local budget? Okay. We still are pending on our funding notice. We're now hearing that likely until June. We have heard the reason for this is actually now it's going up to OMB, the Office of Management and Budget in the federal government. So they've added another layer, which is the reason for the delay. So someone optimistically said mid-May, and you know, that's unlikely to happen. So because we're here. So stay tuned with this. As you guys know, we roll forward assuming flat funding, so no services will be interrupted. And, you know, reading between the wind and cracked crystal walls, it looks like we'll probably get flat funding or close to it. We're fairly optimistic about that. And then I'm going to remind the State Office of AIDS with Ryan White, Part B, ADAP, AIDS Drug Assistance Program, medication rebates is committed to backfilling any reductions or cuts to the Ryan White Part A. The EHE, we don't know yet if they're going to also switch the formula to adopt, remember that new formula that went for Part A and Part B, but they're aware of it. They haven't committed to that, but they were interested to know. So we don't know yet if they're going to, you know, look at current residency of the person rather than they're diagnosed for the formula for EHE and the epidemic. So more to come on that. I'm guessing it won't happen this year because it's awful late for them to do that, but I don't know that for certain. Questions on the funding? Okay. I don't usually talk about this, but because there isn't a lot of that's been happening in the 3 weeks while we're waiting and waiting and waiting, we did have a site visit. So we had a fiscal monitoring site visit, which you also have for Part A and Part B, as well as for C. So you guys may remember a couple years ago, remember you guys all met, you met with them and they asked trick questions like, did you guys assess the fiscal administration assessment thing? So we did that for Part C, and it's just a huge amount of work. So a shout out to my staff, particularly to Beth and to John. Nathalie got thrown in headfirst in the deep end of the pool and emerged victorious. So a lot of work on that. So what it looks like is actually you have your project manager, and there's three tracks. And they get like kind of a national expert that's a consultant. They come and they kind of grill you for 2 days, and you load it. Kind of information up into kind of a compendium stuff that they review. Not only that, but they went to one of our subrecipients. So they went to Tom Waddell, and they also went to San Francisco Community Health Center, as you know, yes. And they also kind of convened a group of consumers. So they get feedback. So they put that all together. And the great news is there were no findings. And so we knew that was a little bit unusual. So usually you have findings, you have improvement recommendations and best practices. And all they tell you, it's a, you know, we're here just to see your program. They're proud of me. Just looking, kind of roll our eyeballs. And we found out that we are one of only two YNY recipients out of 107 that had no findings. So again, kudos to my staff for doing an amazing job, and also to SFCHC. So they had a lot of good things. And they had a lot of commendations about best practices and some improvement recommendations, which are not easy to do, but we appreciate them giving those. So thank you. Any questions on that? The joys of a monitor, and hopefully you'll never have. All right. The CQI, again, you know, we meet quarterly. We would love to have you guys come. You can have chairside assistance as they say. And Natalie is also kind of stepping into our role as kind of our CQI lead. So you don't have to be an expert. You can just come once. The next meeting, I believe, will be in July, I think. Is that right? July, August, July. So if you want to hear more about it, come find Natalie or me, or give Beth a shout. We'd be delighted to have you guys come in, what it is. We will make it not like an IQ test. We'll do everything possible so it can be accessible if you have less CQI experience. And if you have a lot, even better, you can grow up. Any questions on CQI stuff? Okay, moving on to HIV and aging. So we did have what we call AICHA, Interagency Collaboration on HIV and Aging. And I'll talk a little bit about that more in a successive meeting, but I did kind of want to give full shrift to this. You remember Mike Zhao came in and presented where they were going to do the five-year needs assessment. So they have found it. They have finished it. They have finished it. And you can find it online there. And then I put the URL for that. And so in addition to that, they also kind of, in addition to the report, they also did a fairly comprehensive appendices. So if you wanted to kind of understand the DOS system of care, you know, how like we give you guys, HHS provides the service summary sheets, that's kind of an equivalent of that. They're going to give you all that information. So you want to get a sense of the parallel system and what's there, it's a good place to look. And then you can see there was a high level of community engagement there, so I won't go through each of those numbers, but a shout out was given to Vince at SFAF because he really was a really good partner in terms of getting folks in to participate that were HIV positive and elder. And then finally, Mike is open to coming and sharing out kind of the results of that to your guys' group, and he'll be reaching out to Mark to see if he can get on the calendar for that. And they had a chance to present to Getting to Zero, I'm guessing, because in part has been served on Getting to Zero. So they've done that one first, but I think very interested to come here. The other activity that are being looked at is one to look at kind of the level of people receiving HIV care that are also getting a DOS-related service, so we can get a sense of how much overlap there is in our 50-plus or 60-plus groups. As you can imagine, privacy concerns are huge. So at this point, anyone looking at matching, or we would manage that internally because HIV is a different level of sensitivity. But just to give a sense of that, also some conversations of where we, if we jointly fund an agency, is that an opportunity to go in and for clients that are willing to participate, hear from them about how, if they've been approached, if they're interested, what information they get and don't have. That's a little bit more complex. So I think that's a little bit further down the line for us. And also kind of looking at disease self-management, kind of looking at, you know, aging self-management for people, and then HIV self-management for disease, for HIV, I should say. Kind of looking at like PLUS seminar and all those other things, and then looking at aging stuff and looking at developing something similar. Because what we notice is that, of course, for folks living with HIV in their 60s, a lot of it is around social isolation, and learning to do good self-care and proactive care to kind of, you know, to age helpfully. So that's kind of been the focus of that. I'll stop and back. I think I'm done. Any questions on HIV and aging? I mean, isn't it nice that the sun is setting later, so I'm not looking at you guys for perpetual bloom? I'll just say that.
We are going to hear from Thomas about CHUP, CPG, and when we get there.
All right, Thomas Noble, Community Health Tech Community Promotion Manager and pronouns. So sorry, I don't have a rich copy of the CHEP updates at this particular point. Three things I did want to cover is just Oscar and Phoenix and our team went to the Atlanta to do the Cluster Detection Response National Conference, just kind of looking at that particular work, and we've been trying to commit to presenting to this body every couple of years, and so just for you all to know that that is still happening. And just with a lot of shifts that are happening nationally, that that work is still prioritized. We will have a virtual monitoring from our CDC project officers sometime in June, so that will be coming up in the next few weeks. Hopefully that, that will go well, but not foreseeing any particular issues or events there. And then just the more significant thing is that a number of departments, Bill and Andy and some HHS, CHEP, our urgent branches, our SG folks, and then our disease control prevention folks, and traditionally the SCI individuals have been doing a lot of planning with regards to just looking at future states and what we could do to maybe innovate or look at processes within our systems that we might be able to gather ideas around. With regards to efficiencies and things along those lines. So it's been long and challenging meetings, but at the same time, it sounds like it's just nice to actually be thinking about innovation at a time when we're all thinking also about kind of
retrenching, I guess would be the word that I would bring up.
So, and then for the state, we actually had a meeting last week for the state CPG meeting in Monterey, which was in person. So, JP actually sunsetted with regard to term limits at this particular point. That was the last meeting. And had the opportunity to join that body in years' time. The rules are after two terms or 2 years that you can step away for a year or just join a committee for a year and then reapply 12 months later. So I don't know if that's in the future, but that's exactly what's going on. So at this particular point, I'm the only San Francisco community body person on the state CPG. And then one of the other updates is just that Marissa Ramos, who is the state Office of AIDS director, just let us know that they are actually hiring a position above her, that the state that the STI and hepatitis folks would actually report to that individual as well. So it's their version of trying to coordinate HIV, Hep C, and HIV work under one body. So that was there. And that process has been in place for a long time, but it's still, they're hoping that they're at the very near end of that particular process. So when that position is offered to the individual that gets it, we should be here.
I'm not sure Leroy would probably say something about that as well.
And then just the state meeting as well. So the ETE integrated plan was voted on and successful with regards to electrical currents by that particular body. So that was a kind of a significant move forward with regards to the ETE plan and adapting at the state level as well. And you'll be hearing a lot about that this evening. So, any questions about any of those?
Do we need to hold a motion to replace the?
No.
But I think maybe we should give JP a hand for that's a lot of service.
I think he actually did a really good job with regards to co-chair on the body in the last couple of years and also took on leadership around the,
I don't want to say mentoring, the
membership. I know with them, they're just getting right in, just cleaning up those laws and kind of putting things in place with regards to the policies. And so we're in much better shape for the work that JP did in that particular body. The reason JP was basically, I guess, like an at-large member for that particular body. So I'm representing this body in that particular space. So there's a connection to my role here and a connection of being in that particular body. But anybody here can actually apply to be on that the CACPG. I think if anything, they just look for a little bit of representation from all around California. But I think there's more than enough expertise in the room that people are interested in that.
they're more than willing to speak to me or Leroy or the parents to call if they were back. So thank you for the question. Any other questions? Thank you. No, this question.
We're
going to
hear from Lee,
Jewel,
and
so the message of the president signed the fiscal year 2026 spending bill, the fiscal year 2027 bills are advancing, including more HHS. The House of Representatives has scheduled an LHHS subcommittee markup by June 5th and a full appropriations committee markup by June 9th. So that's advancing, which is where Ryan White is housed. And this is where lawmakers vote to reject or approve the funding proposals, including in the fiscal year 2027 President's budget request. Any questions on that? The only thing about CARE that I have is that we have a virtual meeting scheduled for June 8th. Okay.
No, just we're looking at being hybrid both in person as well as remote site visits. And we've been very fortunate that a number of organizations have really been pounding the hill in terms of HIV funding. So although we haven't recently done it, there's been a number of groups that have.
Robert continues to remember. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Now, thank you from Leroy about SRA and
Ada. Thank you so much. Once again, my name is Leroy Blea. I use he, him, and his pronouns just very briefly because I'm going to be talking a little bit about the integrated plan later on with Bill. I wanted to announce also that in addition to the California Planning Group that concurred with or voted to agree with the updated plan, Los Angeles HIV Commission also did, as well as Santa Clara HIV Commission. So generally the arguments of, you know, continuing this work to focus on HIV as a syndemic through a social determinants of health lens and within California, focusing on the populations that we know should be priority in that they do not achieve the same outcomes as other groups in California. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, and hopefully you'll get a chance to concur with that plan again. I also wanted to announce that there are a couple of upcoming reports that are going to be published. One is a report related to the modernization of ADAP. There are going to be recommendations in this report that look to continuing to strengthen the ADAP program and updating what we're able to reimburse for example, for program, bringing the cost of or the reimbursement for providing that program by providers a little bit closer to the cost that it actually costs to do the program. We know that that programs themselves don't get a lot of reimbursement for actually running ADAP programs, but that was one of the recommendations within that report. Also, because ADAP is such a people are concerned about ADAP because it is being abated in other states. This report, you know, has other recommendations around strengthening the program overall. But of course, California has no plans to shrink or change eligibility for ADAP. And the open formulary that we just migrated into is still a hallmark of that program going forward. The other report that we're going to be developing with the help of UCLA, and actually the ADAP report we developed with the help of Facente Consulting, but the report that we're developing with UCLA's help is a PrEP gap analysis looking at some persistent, we're failing to move the needle for certain populations in PrEP uptake in California. And we're looking to explore why. And this, we're doing that through both data analysis of those PrEP users in California through the Medi-Cal program and other private insurance programs. But we're also going to be doing some qualitative interviews as well through UCLA. So We have a list of, through UCLA, they're going to be reaching out to key providers and through the public health departments in the state in order to get more information from particularly those on the front lines of delivering PrEP about what things might strengthen our PrEP navigation, PrEP uptake for the populations that you work with that you know the best. Also, it is online to interview individuals that are PrEP users as well. I also wanted to just note that, I'm going to stop there because I'm going to be a little bit on the agenda going forward, but I'm happy to take any questions about anything I just wanted to say congratulations to JP for moving on from his position and that you were so well represented in the community of San Francisco was so well represented by the representatives you have on the CPG. So thank you for all the service that you provided and leadership. Thank you, JP.
Right. Thank you, Leroy. We are moving on to membership update. We're going to vote for motions from the membership committee to approve two new applicants.
All right, we do have two new applicants for what Irma just mentioned. Both have been approved by membership to join the council. Andre has joined us in person and Jesse is on Zoom. So I'd like to start with Andre. Andre, if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself, why you'd like to join the council, but we'll go right to the vote.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Andre Robertson, and I've been doing this for quite some time. I currently work at UCSF, St. Mary's System Mary Cleveland, as a case manager. But I was on the Prevention Planning Council so 20 years ago. And so I've been doing this work all that time. And I just, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is to get out of my silo in the office and hear from policymakers and hear more importantly from stakeholders. This is good to do that.
Right. Any public comment on this motion on the floor? All right. All those in favor of bringing Andre up to the council, please raise your hand. Any against? Any abstentions? All right. Congratulations, Andre. Please come on ahead and join us at the table. All right. Next, we have Jesse Brooks. Jesse is joining us via Zoom. Jesse, if you could introduce yourself, tell us why you want to join the council.
Sure. Thank you. So I'm Jesse Brooks. First of all, I'm HIV positive. I was positive back in the days of ACT UP, so I know a lot of history around HIV. Also, because I'm positive myself and on both sides of the table, I know the needs of positive people. I live a good life, and I know the needs to get there. And so I want to be on the council to be a voice for HIV positive people, to be a voice, especially for the dwindling Black population of HIV positive people. And I just want to be a voice. So thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Any public comment on the motion on the floor to accept Jesse Brooks to join the council? All those in favor of Jesse joining the council, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Congratulations, Jesse.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations, Andre.
You have joined us virtually. As I've gone over with you in membership, your membership of the council is provisional until the mayor signs off on it. But for now, you're certainly welcome to attend any council meeting and, of course, sit at the table or join the discussion.
Thank you. Welcome. We are going to hear from Kira. She's going to be doing a presentation on COLA.
I'm Myra Lucera, council staff. And as part of my big undertakings, one of them is hosting some colas and facilitating those. And so this year we have a couple, and this is one of them. And the target population for this cola is cisgendered women living in for atmosphere HIV. So just some background for folks. The community engagement is the committee that actually determines the target populations for each poll that we conduct. And so if that is of interest to you, Andre or Jesse, that is definitely the committee to be in. And COLA does stand for Community Outreach and Listening Activity. And so just something to know, the limitations include a small sample size for this. But it is important to know that the clients might not be representative of the demographics of those target populations. And I do want to thank our collaborating partners, which include Stephen and his colleague, Tiny. And they were kind enough to come into the beginning of this specific COLA focus group in order to give an overview of HCAP and give some information on services that so thank you, Stephen. So this focus group was held in February of this year. We had a total of 9 participants. This was incentivized by $50 in gift cards, and then it was facilitated by me. And then this is just some background information specific to the COLAs that we've got. And so as part of the COLA team, responsibility in order to proactively gather and disseminate relevant information coming from people living with HIV and at highest risk for HIV. And so post-March, the council decided to expand COLAs in order to include conventional concerns. And the purpose of COLAs are to disseminate information about the council and then the HIV Consumer Advocacy Project, the HCAP. Conduct outreach to consumers of services as potential council members. Provide small-scale assessments that focus on the San Francisco eligible metropolitan area system of care. In particular, to collect information regarding service prioritization for consumer of services, to collect information regarding unmet needs and barriers to care, and to solicit input and obtain feedback on overall service needs of HIV positive individuals and communities. So now I'll go into some of our results. This is a service category prioritization that we have our participants fill out. And so what we do is we ask the participants to rank these service categories from least to most important to them. And so at the top here, we have the 3 most important categories that these participants ranked. And so we have as the most highly ranked category, primary medical care, followed by mental health care, and then dental health care. And on the opposite end of that, you can see down here, we have emergency and transitional housing, hospice, and home health care. And I do want to highlight that this doesn't mean that folks don't use these services that are kind of down here. These are just the rankings as least to most in comparison to all. All right, we're going into our service category discussion. So the most discussed category was primary medical care. And so a lot of participants really echoed that the quick turnover of medical staff really contributed to the feelings that it was short-term care versus that quality of care that they kind of want. And so they felt that the staff didn't have, as a result of this, the staff didn't have enough familiarity or weren't as knowledgeable as they had hoped. They also noted that the pharmacy fulfillment system really lacks follow-through. And so this then affects their med adherence because they're not able to take their meds on time or they end up just missing meds altogether. In addition to that, clients also felt that these clinics were understaffed from the pharmacy department. And so sometimes then the pharmacist did fill the role of a doctor when it came to explaining their students meds to them or any interactions as we saw matters. Moving on to case management, this was another highly discussed service category. And so participants shared that they felt that there weren't enough case managers, and that those case managers that were in place were not necessarily reflective of the community that they were serving. So in this case, they said specifically reflective of the Black/African-American community. They also noted that there needed to be better oversight on case management. Specifically, clients talked about how sometimes they might have traumatic experiences and they really want to a case manager that had that. And so they felt that there was a lack of care for me. Case managers provide essential service and clients know that. So they're aware that the case manager can recognize everything. And so they really wanted to have that quality case management service provided. Then we talked about transportation. And when we were discussing this specific service category, participants were very wary of the funding cuts that were occurring or to come. And so they were very worried when thinking about transportation, how they use it to get appointments. And so they know that if that gets cut or they are seeing those cuts, then they're unable to get to those appointments. Clients also talked about using paratransit, but unfortunately there are a limit on allowances of how many times you can use paratransit per month. And so once participants meet that allotment, they're going to just have to figure it out for themselves. All right. And then moving on to the discussion of challenges and barriers. So I pose a question to the group: how has your experience navigating the system of care felt? And what came out of this discussion was a big discussion on support groups specifically. A lot of clients and participants in this focus group really shared that they felt that it was hard to find a woman specific support group. That even if there were support groups that were inclusive to all genders, it didn't necessarily feel welcoming to them. And so they did say that there are some groups that are specific for these women, but they do run on a limited time. For example, there was a group that folks had attended, but it only ran for 8 weeks. Then after that, they kind of just left 2 weeks with no support group available to them. They also mentioned that outings and scheduling can be a hassle and can be an obstacle because they are not able to make that support. This is specifically referring to some outings, sometimes program coordinators only providing the outing location the day before, the day of, for whatever reason, and so they're not able to plan accordingly. It's also difficult for clients to stay connected with support groups if they have a disability or specifically need child. That was a big topic that I'll discuss a little bit later. There was also this feeling of lack of privacy because a lot of clients said that they saw that facilitators would sometimes bring friends or not clients to these outings or to these support groups. So they felt that there was their privacy was kind of being impeded on. Moving on to the discussion of prevention. There was this overall theme that there was a lack of HIV education. Specifically, we discussed how diagrams and abbreviations can sometimes be confusing for people, especially when they don't always understand. For example, U equals U. A lot of folks said that when they first were educating themselves on HIV, they saw that poster somewhere and they didn't really know what that meant. So they want something more or more straightforward. When receiving information about HIV, a lot of participants said that they only received that information once they became infected, not prior to that. They felt that no one really took the time to educate them about HIV, so you were just kind of expected to know everything about it, especially in discussions with your doctor or providers. You didn't really take the time to sit down and kind of tell them this is what's going on and this is what it is. So this lack of education about HIV contributes to the stigma that still then exists about it as well. Well, some quotes that came out of that were, "Where's the prevention at? Spend some money to make it cool. It's not a death sentence." Okay. Moving on to some more of our discussion, we also discussed access to care. And so specifically when discussing access to care, we talked about the lack of support around building the three kinds of relationship that participants felt. And so a lot of these participants said like they really wanted to do support living their lives. So that included building different kinds of relationships, whether that be platonic relationships with friends or romantic relationships. They're more than just someone trying to get access to services. They also have their lives. And so they really want to feel supported in those aspects. Having to prioritize childcare can also become a barrier, which I mentioned earlier, when accessing care, because sometimes activities are not inclusive to parents. I think a lot of what the participants shared regarding this point is that they're more than just that person has a lot of things going on, and sometimes these women, they have childcare that they have to think about. They have children that they have to take care of. So when there's outings, they need to think about, well, do I need to get a babysitter? Can my child come with me? If my child can't come with me, then I can't come either. So that can prove to be a barrier. A lot of participants also had to figure out how to balance their employment with their benefits. Specifically, if they wanted to not lose their current care provider, but they had built a relationship. And then navigating the system of care can feel tricky, especially when clients want to ensure that they do not double dip. And so we talked about how some programs have a specific eligibility that you have to meet. And so if you're already with program A, then you can't participate in program B. And so balancing that, it can be tricky for participants. And some quotes that came out of that were, I'm fighting to get services for myself. I shouldn't have to fight for services they get them before. You have to be creative and know someone that knows the gray area. And that one, that specific quote is actually in relation to that last bullet point here. Then no gap in paycheck, but there sure is a gap in care. Some of the takeaways from everything that I just showed are that this specific population does face a unique set of challenges, especially navigating the system to be fair. And some of the concerns are around the lack of education of HIV, which is then also connected to the prevention side. And this gap in education of HIV also then contributes to the stigma that exists. There is also a big need for consistent support groups that help serve a specific target population, along with ordinary barriers that affect a client's ability to be involved in care, participants do discuss the many complexities that we must deal with in order to be connected to care. So for example, childcare, scheduling conflicts, and the overall availability of support groups that do well with such care. And then, of course, funding cuts are top of mind for many participants, with them noting the concerns that this can cause. So participants did say that they saw those cuts implemented in certain social activities as well as transportation. And they also note how the system works together as a whole. And so when you reduce one part of it, it really does affect their ability to see care.
So I understandably, I imagine childcare is a big barrier for a lot of clients. And I know that the mayor's announced a new child care policy to provide child care for people with qualified. And I'm wondering how this information is going to get disseminated, especially to these women. And I'm wondering if Stephen knows about it.
Not familiar with the program
I'm talking
about.
Well, I'll see if I can get more information if we can get it to you guys. You want to take one?
I don't know, but I'm guessing it would be grandparent care at this point. So, as I think the child care is an initial, not just the
population.
You know, our female population, which we're aiming is about the male population. And within the communities, more of a tendency that we see like they actually made the very apparently suing it from the population or not population.
And I also think they're referring more to
to actually attending like a support group.
Yes.
They're attending, you know, like a very short function, not necessarily like
if they want to know that.
Exactly. So, thank you.
Not so much a question, but just kind of thank you for doing the COLA and just thank the council as well. So last year, 2024, we saw 26 HIV infections among HIV or cisgender women, and then for the previous last year, it dropped down to 16. And that seems to be kind of consistent over the years, where it kind of pops up to mid-20s and then drops back to mid-teens. It continues to go that way. But when we saw the 26, it really was concerning because a number of those folks had kind of been diagnosed in some kind of violent situation, or they were showing up in emergency rooms or something along those lines, and that's how they were coming to their HIV status. So it concerned us, and it always does concern us. Yeah, from that, but I always do feel like a certain level of such a small group of folks and what that must be like to be in a system that's relatively overwhelming, and then to not be seen, for lack of a better word, in regards to a high volume of numbers of cisgender women in that system. So I don't know. Just if you don't want a large number of cisgender women living with HIV in the city and county of San Francisco, flip side of that, though, you can feel very isolated and alone in your journey with regards to living with HIV in that situation. I appreciate you highlighting that the council also voting to kind of move this to get a little more information on what the current state is.
I think the thing that's really interesting about this population is statistically it's very low, but the barriers they face, they almost always feel neglected,
yeah,
underrepresented, no one cares about them. It's important, especially for prevention efforts, that we take care of this population.
And for all of us that probably work in the early years, they kind of reminded me when gender women were testing positive and actually women who were crossing the border were actually raped and they end up having babies. But the fact that we had started, you know, we had Puente para Niños, the original kids, right? Exactly. So we had, and so it's really interesting that even though we have that structure, Shanti had that structure as well, but it seems like we're kind of like stepping away. We have stepped away from that, and maybe that is something that we need to start thinking about it, you know, bring it back again.
Go ahead. Yeah, I really appreciate this. San Mateo, we are really looking at socially female population, female. And so I really appreciate the folks and just the idea that while people are going through this, they're asking where was the prevention messages and how, you know, so I really appreciate this. It's going to be very helpful as I bring it back to our staff and the community board, just because of the individuals that we recently who have identified as being positive. You know, those are the questions, kind of missed opportunities and things like that. So this is, I really appreciate your presentation.
No,
when speaking for Marin County, these are issues that we had just recently pretty much just been focusing again, but we didn't really solve a lot of that population. And you know, they said about, you know, especially the women, they do feel like they're being neglected. We get the same response. I sponsor and show up to people in the support groups and get to hear my women talk about how they sometimes feel like they go around that attention more. And they really do work on their women groups and partners. And we love it because of the fact it gives them the opportunity to be heard among other women who are in the same effect as they are. And it gives them that headpiece of, okay, I am a leader. I just need to be a part. And they sometimes feel like they're not a part of it. They don't want to be, but they have to be with that. And you know, we faced it a lot and we hurt them. And now I'm a little bit more comfortable in the fact that we're taking that control to make them feel welcome and needed, but we're not disregarding you from what we want. We want to be there to help you more. And that's what we need to do here. Just need to let them know that. Gotcha.
Support groups were a big discussion point, especially for this group. We definitely, within that focus group that was held, we actually had two newly diagnosed participants. And it was, I think it was very interesting to see the exchange of knowledge between the participants. You know, they stayed after and were talking about, oh, where can we do this, where can we do that? And I think support groups really are beneficial even in those aspects. They're just a common use to share that knowledge.
Do you know about housing status of the participants? Were they like living in roommates or couch surfing or what? You know, because that determines everything.
We didn't, so for these COLAs, if they are a smaller scale meeting session per se, we don't, and for this one specifically, we didn't kind of get a demographic survey again where we asked, you know, questions around, especially the housing status. So we did get that
question. Any idea what kind of were they going to? Or being
what places they were going to?
Their primary care, where were they getting from? No. So, like, you didn't ask that.
Just for knowledge, you know, we all as a system on the care side fund two clinics. So we have a center of excellence for women that is located on both UCSF campuses and has also partner agencies. It's been since the inception, they accept both cisgender women and trans women, so it's choice. But they have to define this world and be able to be putting besides the jailhouse services, which we hope no one is in. But that's kind of a more specific population. And we also fund a program for women for prenatal, perinatal, and postnatal is high. And that's also based on UCSF. But I think on the prevention side, while there's not a half that's women focused, there is a program which is kind of a sister program on high, which is called Team Lily. Is that right?
Yeah.
Team Lily. So there are, just for people, just awareness that there are this set of services. I think the challenge is what if you're a Latino woman or Asian woman or Black woman, you're going to have to kind of in a straight way choose which is more important to your identity, your race, ethnicity, or gender. So I don't think we figured that one out perfectly, except to say clients have a choice to do that, which I think is a good thing, but I think we're only halfway there in terms of people who want, for whom, you know, Latino environment, ethnic, a woman centered environment is important if we don't have that.
Yeah, just for clarity, so the halves are centered around, there's one for African Americans, Latinos, Asian Pacific Islanders, Middle Eastern men, youth, trans women, and people who trans women described. So all genders can access all of those. So we just kind of center around those particular topics.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to engage in the back and forth, so I just want to quickly, first of all, it's a really lovely group of Cubans that were there, and Curie did a great job, so I want to lift that up for one minute. One thing that I'm interested in to pick up what Audrey said quickly is, I was surprised to see that housing was not the top of the list of services that were on people's minds. I can remember that I've shared at the community engagement committee level at least two cases, and they might be the only two cases that I think they might be the only two cases in which I've had women with children, and they both involved housing, and they were specifically housing subsidies, in that the subsidy calculation is not very nimble when it comes to calculating what it's like to have dependent children. And it's a very cumbersome process and one that does take some advocacy, because there's a lot of rules that people are following with regard to HAPA or providing these subsidies to the mayor's office. And then what it's like to have dependent children who are not HIV positive, but will certainly affected by the diagnosis, right? And so I just wanted to raise that because it is in this small community of people, that's the thing that comes up in my desk most often. And then I also just wanted to share, you know, some of the barriers that folks are experiencing that they're talking about, transportation, childcare, could also be, you know, no fault of the coalition of the parameters that we're working with, but could also be contributing to the turnout, right? So the folks may not, people that have different needs may not be showing up because they have the needs. So anyway, but you did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to have a little change on our agenda, only because we're running ahead of time. So Laura is going to present us with the happen update.
Thank you. So I, at our last meeting, I did a presentation on where we are with the San Francisco budget for HIV services, and in particular, it was a presentation from the HIV/AIDS Provider Network. I serve as one of the co-chairs of the HIV/AIDS Provider Network along with Ms. Toma, and we both gave our presentation on our budget advocacy to preserve services for people living with HIV and those at highest risk of HIV, because we're facing over $3 million in proposed budget cuts within the Department of Public Health, particularly for HIV prevention. And so my ask at the last meeting was to ask the HIV Community Planning Council to join the HIV/AIDS Provider Network and endorse our advocacy, asking the mayor and the board of supervisors to stand with our communities and reject all of these proposed cuts, HIV prevention, harm reduction, and LGBTQ health services in the budgets for the next 2 years. Because I get an extensive presentation last time, I'm not going to go through all of this, but I'm happy to answer questions. If people have questions about the budget process, at the moment, DPH has made their recommendations to the mayor. The mayor's budget office is reviewing proposed cuts and will be coming out June 1st or 2nd with the mayor's proposed budget. And then it will go to the Board of Supervisors. They will deliberate for a few weeks with the goal of voting on a budget to get back to the mayor by the end of June for a July 1 fiscal year start date. So I'm happy to answer questions about the content of the process, but I may also refer you to my presentation last month. It's in the draft. But also, we're running ahead of time, so I'll say if you have questions, I can probably answer. But this is my motion that I'm putting on the table to ask the council to endorse the will happen process.
Is there a second to that motion?
Right here.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion on the motion on the floor to accept the language? No discussion, any public comment on this motion? All right, so not about funds, so we can do a hand vote. All in favor of this motion, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Two abstentions. Okay, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is it dinner break right now?
Not yet. Your Honor, please, dinner's not ready yet.
Excuse me?
We're breaking right now, but dinner's not yet ready.
I figured that's you, Ron. Okay. Hi, everyone. Sorry I'm late.
Okay. Did you want me to send you something?
No, I appreciate the other night, though, for sure. Meatballs, the meatloaf, wow. Thank you, everyone.
Richard.
Mark, thank you. Hey, Thomas, hello. How are you, everyone?
Hello. How do I get back to that?
Hi, Richard.
Hey, all right. How you doing, man?
Good. Nice to see you.
You too, man. What picture am I putting out? I took off my hideous hospital gown, and I think I got an old picture of me at the beach. Is that up?
You know, one sec, Richard. Now I'm motivated to find it.
Looks like you're wearing a backpack.
Oh, that one's up. Okay. Where's my beefcake one? Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Let me see.
How do I get back to the gallery?
Yeah.
Right here?
The gallery.
This? There we are. All right, Richard, now we can see you.
So, Leroy, are you there?
Yeah, we can all hear you, Richard.
Okay, what picture do I have up?
Same one, it's the backpack, yep.
Oh, wow, okay, thank you. I'll stop playing around now. All right, thanks.
That's great. If I said that, I'm going to step.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Where did you get on earlier?
Terry Dowling.
Call me up. I think you said that thing.
Yeah, we got it. Okay.
Well, we'll see. And the five people here just are
chatting away,
yeah. Asking questions.
Hello, Mark.
Yes.
Oh, when you came up the other day, you, Karen, and Kat, was that Friday?
We came up on Wednesday.
Okay, so I hadn't seen you yet with the results from my neurologist.
Oh, tell me the results.
They came back really nice, man. So I only need the brace, the corrective brace, for 2 more weeks, and then there's basically no restrictions except watch the level of pain, listen to my body, but like I can start doing like more exercise, shower with devices and assistance. So basically the brace is off after 2 more weeks from Friday. It was from Friday. So it was like it's all the pieces are still in place. None of it has become disjointed or dislodged. The screws are all as they were put in surgically. So it was a really good evaluation, a really good reading. He's really happy with it. I don't see him again for 9 months. All systems will go for like a return home in July. I just got to watch my back, push it as much as I can, but keep that in mind.
Richard, that's fantastic news. That's way better than we were talking about.
Yeah, you know? Sure. It doesn't like, it didn't have anything to do with nerves. Those can't be reconstituted. So I don't get up and dance, but I can be, like we were talking about, more erect now. And the spine is connected for sitting positions, dressing, and other, like, those type of things.
Excellent. So all you need to kind of figure out now is getting a different kind of wheelchair, right?
Yeah, so now I'm leaning towards, plus I had my own outing there when I was around the old St. Luke's on the sidewalk and stuff. Not positive. So it looks like an electric device for me.
Hey.
Yeah, that's what we're going to try to order. And, you know, I plan on being on the campus at school next year again. And so that seems to be what we're going to look at right now. So I'm going to start training on that, and we're going to go from there.
Great. So how was going to this appointment on your own? I know that was like a new thing. How was going to the appointment on your own? How did that work out?
Yeah.
It was fine, but like I had to leave one building and go around the corner to the old Saint the Sutter and to get imaging that he wanted to look at. And so I was on my own and I kind of went around up a hill and I got halfway up the hill and I was smoked. It's a training chair that I'm in now. It, you saw it, is big and heavy and archaic, so that has something to do with it. But it's just the sidewalks are bumpy. It was uphill. It you know, it's not my cup of tea. I'm gonna go for the electric. If you know they're gonna order me something, I'm gonna do that. You know.
Great. Well, thank you for the update. That's fantastic, Richard.
Yeah, and thanks again for everyone that visited. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Jesse, I love your profile.
Okay.
That's
well, thank you. It's
AI.
Ron, are you eating without me again?
He did, Ron.
We'll just see when Leroy is ready. Leroy, just let us know when you're ready. We're going to get you on earlier.
Oh, okay. No problem. I'm going to go ahead and share my slide deck. It shouldn't be that long of a presentation.
Wait 5 minutes?
No problem. Yeah, just let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, I like the
environment.
cat.
All cat.
All cat. All cat. All cat. Very nice. I haven't seen her on a cat.
I'll try to know because I'm not.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here, and I have just a brief presentation, and hopefully we can have a concurrence vote as we did 5 years ago. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about the integrated plan that the state puts together each cycle for those of us in the state that actually get prevention care and surveillance money. It is a requirement of CDC and HRSA to put together an integrated plan that meets certain requirements that get submitted to HRSA and CDC for review, and it helps to pull together key data and information in one place that really focuses on integrating HIV surveillance care and prevention. California, however, does something a little bit different. And this is direct feedback from the advocates, from service providers, from communities like San Francisco's, that says that we actually need to do something different in California to address HIV, not as a condition on its own, but as a syndemic with hepatitis C through a social determinants of health lens. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today in just a few slides. We did this concurrence presentation 5 years ago. We were very pleased that San Francisco decided to co-author this plan with the state. I'll talk a little bit about some components of it, the approach of what we're doing this time, the priority populations that we're continuing to center in San Francisco and in California, no matter what the policy and funding shifts that are happening nationally, and then some feedback that we've gotten from different community groups about the plan this round. The basic premise of our integrated plan is that in California and across the country, we've had a lot of successes in implementing prevention care and treatment to the benefit of many populations, but not all populations. So the central argument of our plan is that we need to do something different for those priority populations, groups of people that actually don't do as well with the tools that we have available to us in testing, treatment, and other behavioral prevention, some of the other supportive services that we have available to us. We need to do something different. And so we joined together with a collective impact, a group of counties and Part A jurisdictions across the state to develop something that we've presented to many community meetings and groups over the course of the last 5 years. The crux of it is to address HIV as a syndemic with hepatitis C and STIs through some specific social determinants of health, racial equity, housing first, health access for all, mental health and substance use, economic justice, and stigma free. And I'll talk a little bit about what is the 30 strategies that are arrayed across those social determinants of health. Those social determinants of health were suggested by community engagement and experts that we consulted with at the beginning of developing this plan, which was first enforced between 2022 and 2026, because we in California realized that we've made some progress, but that this shift to thinking about addressing HIV in a more complex way is a paradigm shift. Excuse me. And California also considers it a long-term investment. So we're refreshing our plan. We're moving it into another five-year cycle. We're updating data and we're adding a priority population, but the basic plan remains the same. And so the yellow plan that you see here has been on our website. We've used it in multiple forums. San Francisco has used it very successfully and the state has used it in recruiting and discussing this syndemic focus with departments outside of public health, those departments that actually control some resources that we're interested in helping bring to bear to people living with HIV and people at risk of HIV, like DHSS, the Department of Social Services that administers a lot of housing, the Department of Education, the Department of Corrections. So all of these are now strategic partners through this integrated plan. The key elements, once again, extension of our syndemic focus, again, focusing on social determinants of health. And actually, I'll pause and say this, that this plan actually meets the requirement of a number of different plans for San Francisco. So it's at once an integrated care and prevention and surveillance plan. And then it also, you know, meets the requirement that other jurisdictions have to have this plan submitted to HRSA and CDC. So I'll just note that. The revision is that we're adding an additional priority population. I mentioned this before, that last round, we didn't have people who are aging with HIV or older adults as a priority population. This is people that are 50 years and older are the largest group of individuals with diagnosed HIV in the state. Their needs are still emerging. We talk a little bit about that today. We're going to continue to talk about that in a very focused way over the course of the next 5 years, because once we get concurrence with this plan, we'd like to update our implementation blueprint. And that document has a lot of specific population notes that we want to develop for HIV and aging populations. Also, this document is really high level. It's about 30 pages. It's meant in intentionally high level. We don't think that something has to be long in order to be a good and focused document that says what we need to. It's meant to actually speak to community and to be accessible to multiple constituencies. Also, we have a process this time that is about allowing us to be flexible with what is going on nationally. So our process this time is to make sure that we have an internal to California version of this plan with all of the data and information that's necessary and all of the language that's necessary to describe the diversity of our HIV syndemic, HIV hepatitis C and STI syndemic in California, and then to speak with in relation to the executive order requirements external to California, because we know that HRSA and CDC can't accept certain data that we have in California, and they don't accept certain language. They actually push it back. So we're cognizant of that, and we have adapted to that external to California. But once again, internal California, the diversity of our epidemic remains on our websites, described well for communities and community groups in order to plan the work that they need to within California. And we have the support of, obviously, our administration to do that. I can talk more about that if there are any questions. This is a little bit more detail, but at a high level, the 30 strategies that are aligned across our social determinants of health. So racial equity, housing first, health access for all, mental health and substance use, economic justice, and stigma free all have five key strategies. These are all detailed in a much greater way in our implementation blueprint. And that has 156 activities, and that's not our concurrence document today. Our concurrence document was a document that we all reviewed for this, the shorter document that we are going to be talking about, or that I am talking about now. I just wanted to highlight the priority populations once again to emphasize that in California, we're not changing our priorities, but we are adding to them. People who are aging with HIV, especially older adults with HIV. We are particularly sort of expanding this concept of people who are aging with HIV because we know that individuals over the life course can age at different rates. And actually, certainly if someone was diagnosed earlier in their lives, that taking medication earlier in their lives might have affected the way that they age. So this is expanding the conversation, not just talking about older adults, but certainly that's going to be our main focus, because the majority of individuals living with HIV, diagnosed HIV, are over 50 in California. I just wanted to note that trans people, migrant communities, including people that are undocumented, these are all populations that we are continuing to center. People of color, all of this language is translated in a different way outside of California, but there is a network of between states to actually accommodate and adapt to how we speak outside of California, outside of our states and inside of our states. I can talk more about that if there are questions, but if the key point here is that we are continuing to center the populations that are priorities in California according to the data that we see for disproportionate and disparities related to HIV. I just wanted to note that these documents that we create in California are tools for communication. They're tools for recruiting people to this concept of syndemic work through a social determinants of health lens. We have an implementation blueprint with a lot of activities that drill down into 30 strategies. These San Francisco has used this document really well. You continue to develop amazing plans in two-year cycles locally, and Vicente Consulting is working with you and doing amazing community engagement with that. Those are all ongoing. So I'm just talking about our statewide plan here that you are also a co-author with, and this meets that significant check mark that allows you to continue to do the good work in San Francisco that you are all doing. I'm also just noting here that the state takes responsibility for doing a number of community engagement activities that are statewide, including our Ending the Syndemic Symposium. I mentioned this, the PrEP gap analysis that we're doing as well. We report on this regularly to CDC and HRSA on behalf of all of our collective impact group. So you get some of the benefits of actually some of the work that the state's doing already. And also you're doing your own local community engagement, like the wonderful report that you heard today. Continue to do that work. It enriches this process reciprocally. And we're just very proud to be partnering with San Francisco. I wanted to highlight briefly the data that's in the plan that was reformatted and updated to the latest data that we have available to us at the time of drafting this plan. It's designed to show the fact that we have HIV has remained relatively flat for most populations. We've seen some small decreases, but the most disproportionate impact is continuing to be among Latine and Black African American individuals, particularly Black African American individuals. So we also see disproportionate impacts or trends. Women are overrepresented in the data, and MSM continue to be one of the highest categories of sexual contact, and cisgender men tend to be the majority of individuals who continue to make up most of the HIV diagnoses in the state. But once again, those individuals in California that are most disproportionately impacted are Latine and Black African American communities. We've seen some pretty big successes, particularly among STIs, decreases that are attributed to things like DoxyPEP interventions, a lot of integrated testing that has gone on in special access sites like emergency departments. We want to continue to see those trends going down, but we also see that Black African American and Latinx or Latine individuals are disproportionately impacted with these, even though we've seen some decreases. And we want to see that these trends continue. So for us in California, we think that addressing those things around HIV, STIs, and hepatitis C, those social determinants of health, are the things that we're most concerned with, making a bigger impact for, along with the health interventions that we're going to continue as well. This also shows some decreases for hepatitis C infection. But once again, the populations that are most impacted are people of color. And we, once again, would like to see trends in decreasing of hepatitis C infection continue. But I hope you notice that the data in these last three slides was presented in a way that's a little bit more accessible than traditional data. And it's meant to be something that communicates more the obvious points of the data. I also say that the state is translating this document into Spanish this round. So there's going to be Spanish and English versions of the integrated plan published to our website. The timeline for this is we've drafted the plan, the changes to the plan. It's basically the same plan before with the updates that I noted. And we are doing a round of concurrence presentations to you all. We've had out the document out for a review period that's actually been longer than 2 weeks, and we've had some feedback about it. And the concurrence requirement that we have is to present the changes to you, ask if you have any input, and then ask once again for your support of the plan through a concurrence vote. And then we have a lot of activities that are part of this that the state is doing, I said, on its own, that will also benefit and work synergistically with the work that you're doing in San Francisco already. The role of the Planning Council is to, you know, review our document, to provide a concurrence letter if you concur with the plan, to advise our implementation by kind of accepting regular reports from me based on the indicators that we have 12 surveillance indicators that we use to update you all about the progress that's going on in California vis-a-vis the plan. And then, you know, continue to talk about your community to your community partners, and then reference the plan in your planning and implementation activities. You use this plan in many ways within the documents that you use regularly to do priority setting and allocation. So the things that you're doing are well aligned with the great with the plan. And so just continue the great work that you're doing in San Francisco. I just want to note a few of the things that we got as feedback, that we continue to get really good feedback that this syndemic focus is the way to address HIV, hepatitis C, and STIs in California, that social determinants of health lens, thinking about housing and economic barriers and mental health and substance use and stigma are much stronger of a formula for actually having greater impact on HIV, hepatitis C, and STIs. We've also, and then the support of the priority populations that we developed, including the new priority population of people that are aging with HIV in California. Some suggestions have been to have a stronger focus in being able to report back some of the outcomes from social determinants of health interventions, like what happens when we try to address housing more directly instead of just housing, just HIV, right? So we have asked for some technical assistance from some of our research partners to help us develop more and stronger intermediate indicators that help us focus on developing more intermediate outcomes for things like housing as an intervention, and also some of our economic interventions that we're doing as well. And then there's a general suggestion that we got about like the things that people would like to see just happen in California that are already going on really. Our self-testing, our street medicine interventions, our the social media that we're doing. So all of those things got some support and some people's comments. So the key element of concurrence that we'd like to ask the council to have a vote today, if possible, is to vote. So the key elements of a concurrence are to have reviewed the changes in the plan, that you have the opportunity to provide input to me today, of course, and I've been providing updates regularly to the council every month. And I'm available certainly in the long haul to help implement this plan with you all, because I'm now your Part B representative and I'm here and present every month at the council. So it's a little bit different now. Last time I was just coming in as a visitor, and this time I'm a member of the planning council, and I'm really honored to be here. And then to help inform the implementation of our plan by continuing to provide updates to feedback when I provide updates. But our options today, if you actually, I'm going to pause there and see if there are any questions. And Bill, do you have anything to add?
No, I think you've covered it really fully well. Just the other piece of this is it's a template and then kind of a sub-template, but we preserve the ability to customize based on San Francisco's decision.
That's right. So the way that this has worked in other jurisdictions, there are options to concur with reservations, or do not concur. And what has happened in other jurisdictions is that the council either has a motion to simply vote to concur or not, and failing that, then you would have a different vote for concur with reservations or a different vote to not concur. And as I said before, we've only gotten concurrence and unanimous concurrence votes. Don't let me influence you, but that's what's happened to other jurisdictions. So there, by and large, there's been a lot of support for the plan, and it continues. And it continues because I think it's reflective of the work that goes on in your jurisdiction. And we want to thank the San Francisco's amazing work that helped inform this first plan that we had in 2022 to 2026 and this and the revisions going forward. So I'm going to stop sharing.
Can I hear a motion to affirm?
So for
wow. Okay, I'm going to go with Charles as the mover.
One second.
And we as insisted that he would like to second. Discussion now depends on the motion on the floor to affirm that they concur with the.
I just want to say thank you, Leroy, and thank you to Ascendi Consulting and all of the folks that have worked on this. I really, you know, it has been so great to have this plan as we're doing advocacy, as we're, you know, pushing for funding for these interventions, things like that. It's been really great to be able to point to a roadmap that's been developed with so much community input and thoughtfulness. And so, you know, there's always more to do to fully implement it for sure. And I look forward to continuing to work on that and figure out how to make everything better. But just thank you for all of your work on the plan.
Thank you.
Any public comment before we go to the handbook? All right, all those in favor of concurrence, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I will abstain, just because it's, yeah, I'm presenting it.
Motion passed.
Thank you all.
So please write that on the budget.
Please note our most excellent on the evaluation.
Next meeting is going to be Monday, June 22nd.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Thank you, Leroy.
Great to see you, Richard. Bye.
And you Jesse, too, man. You too.
Yeah, great to see you too, Richie. Excuse me, Jesse.
But I'm not.